Amen. Amen. It's good, been good, ain't it?
Amen.
I was thinking about some of the messages that I heard, and it would convince just about anybody, any humble pre-tribulationist, if they would listen to the messages that have been preached. I mean, these messages were clear as day. This morning, I mean, it was just clear as day. That message Brother Major preached yesterday on debunking the dispensationalists, they need to listen to that. That solved a lot of problems. But you remember the book of Revelation, just a little overview. Revelation's chapter number 5, you'll remember that God the Father was on the throne, and the Lamb came and took the seven seal book out of his hand. And in Revelation's chapter number 6, David, Brother Burzins preached on that this morning and did a great job on preaching on that. And you remember the first seal was the Antichrist. The second seal, of course, was the war. And the third seal, the famine. The fourth seal were the martyrs under the altar. And then it got to the fifth seal. We see the sun and moon darken, and we realize the sun and moon is darkened. Then the sign of the Son of Man appears in heaven, and then of course we're caught out of here to meet the Lord in the air, and we're going to ever be with the Lord Jesus Christ at the rapture. And then we get to Revelation chapter number 6, and the seventh seal, we see the wrath of God is begin to be poured out in Revelation chapter number 6. It says, you remember Revelation 6, verse number 17, it says, "For the great day of his wrath is come." And so that lets us know that up until this point, it has not been the wrath of God. That's real simple, ain't it? I mean, that's real simple. And I found out as you preach this, the layman that sits in the pew has no trouble with this. It's usually people that are behind the pulpit. And the main thing I believe it is, and the only thing that it can be, is pride. Because these scriptures are clear. It's not something that is vague. It's not something that we have to guess at. You know, there's some scriptures in the Bible that we're not real sure about. But on this deal of the rapture, it's real clear that it is after the tribulation. It's as clear as day. So we see the seventh seal open, and we see the wrath of God begin to be poured out in Revelation chapter number 8, Revelation chapter number 9, 10, and 11, and of course chapter number 15 and 16. And we understand as the seventh seal is open and the trumpets of God begin to be poured out, we understand that the trumpets and the vials, they are concurrently. And I have to keep remembering that, the difference between consecutive and concurrent, but they're concurrent, they're together.
That's right.
So the first trumpet opens, and then we got the first vial. The second trumpet opens in the second vial, and it just goes right along in chronological order. And it's just like in Luke chapter number 17. Turn over there, Luke chapter number 17. Luke chapter number 17. Very familiar scripture to you here. Luke chapter number 17. Luke chapter 17, look at verse number 26. And the Bible says, "And it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed." So he gives us two illustrations here. He gives us the illustration of Noah. Noah entered the ark, the flood came. Lot left Sodom, and what happened? Fire and brimstone came down from the Lord. And so that's a picture of the rapture and then the wrath of God. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. The Bible says, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." So we understand tonight that the day of the Lord is the day that the rapture takes place. We understand that that happens under the sixth seal, and the Bible is real clear. If we was to go back to chapter number 4, we understand that the rapture happens, and then it says "but," and then it mentions the day of the Lord. And so we understand that this is the same time frame. So it says verse number 2, "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh," notice this, "cometh upon them." upon them. And that don't include me and you, so we understand this. The Bible says, as we continue to read in verse number 9, it says, "For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." So we understand, as the trumpets are poured out and the vials are poured out, we understand that we, as God's children, will not be here for that. And so the question is this: why God's wrath? Why is God going to pour His wrath out upon this world? I thank God that we live in the United States of America, and it's hard to believe that people in the United States of America have not heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm sure in this area that you live in, if it's anything like Humboldt, Tennessee, we have churches everywhere. Everywhere you go, on every corner, we got all the Southern Baptist churches. We got the Presbyterian. We got the Methodist. We don't have no independent fundamental Baptist except the one that is us. And so there's a lot of people that have said they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you talk to a lot of them, as you do here. I know that this is a soul-winning church. It's amazing to me that a lot of people in these churches, you go and you witness to them and you knock on the door and you ask them if they died today, do you know they'd go to heaven? And there's so many different answers. And we understand this, that in the day and age that we live in, everybody knows about Jesus. Everybody knows who Jesus is, but a lot of people do not understand the way of salvation. The question was asked in Acts chapter number 16, "What must I do to be saved?" And the answer was, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." And so we understand that it's putting our faith in Him and nothing else. It's trusting in Jesus Christ. It has nothing to do with water baptism. It has nothing to do with being good. It has nothing to do with church attendance. It has nothing to do with anything but putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But so many people are missing the boat. They're missing the boat, and they don't understand that. And even in our churches, there's people in there that's trusting in something else besides the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, you get the average independent fundamental Baptist tract, and it will say you need to repent of your sins. It'll say that you have to turn from your sins to be saved. And of course, that is a false doctrine. But everybody is going to have an opportunity to hear the gospel. Everybody is going to have an opportunity to get saved. And everybody is, if they don't get saved, is going to face the wrath of God. But why God's wrath? Look at Revelation chapter number 6. Revelation chapter number 6. Revelation chapter number 6. Look at verse number 9. And the Bible says, "And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it is said unto them that they should rest for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled." And so you have those under the altar asking the Lord, how long? How long until He recompenses? How long until He judges those that have killed the saints? Of course, during the tribulation, in the great tribulation, as the saints are died. And so you got those under the altar asking the question, how long? They want justice. They want judgment. Look at Revelation chapter number 8. Revelation chapter number 8. Revelation 8, it says, "And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it," notice, "with the prayer of this all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and earthquakes." And so there we see that he offered it with the prayer of the saints. And of course, the prayer of the saints, again, I believe the prayer of the saints, of course, is justice. We understand as Christian, as saved people, that there are unrighteous people. We understand that there are people that deserve the wrath of God. They deserve the wrath of God that is going to come upon them. And many times times in the Bible, we see the righteous praying for the judgment of the wicked. We see the righteous praying for it. We see the ones under the altar praying for justice. We see the prayers of the saints offered up to God. We see in Revelation 15. Look at Revelation 15. Revelation 15 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is," notice, "filled up the wrath of God. And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, in them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name stand up on the sea of glass, having the harps of God, and they sing the songs of Moses, the servant of God, in the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord? Glorify thy name, for thou art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open, and the angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure white linen, having their breasts girded with golden girdles. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials, full of the wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever. And the temple was filled with the smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled." And so there again, we see the saints singing the praises of or singing the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. And then we see the judgment of God. And so we understand that the wrath of God is going to be poured out on this world. One of the reasons is because of the persecution of the saints. The saints have been persecuted and they're crying for justice. And we understand that God's wrath is a time of vengeance. We understand that it is a time of recompense. We understand that it is a time of restitution. Understanding this, that they have had their chance. They have had their chance to trust the Lord. There's a Bible verse in Ecclesiastes 8 and verse number 11. It says, "Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the son of men is fully set in them to do evil." You know, so many people think they're getting away with it. They think they're getting away with it. They think that they're getting away with their sins. They think they're getting away. They think that their sins are hidden. But the Bible says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he reap." And so we understand that the sins are not being hidden from God. And God is going to pour his wrath upon the sins that have not been forgiven, the sins that have not been under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we understand that people are not getting away with their sins. Sometimes we look around and it looks like they're getting away. It looks like they got it made. It looks like everybody's fine and everything's going well. But understand this, you can be sure that God's vengeance is coming, and he is going to recompense, and he is going to judge this world, and he is going to pour the wrath of God out on this world. Now, there's a lot of confusion today about what the wrath in the tribulation. I mean, we understand that the tribulation, of course, is 300 years, but 3.5 years. And then, yeah, boy, I really messed up, didn't I? But then the wrath of God is poured out on this world. And so we have a problem. The problem is simply this. We have people teaching us the Bible that don't really understand the Bible properly. I mean, we got a lot of people teaching Bible prophecy that does not understand the Bible. The Bible says the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. And so understand this, there's a lot of people that's teaching Bible prophecy that don't have a lot of other things right. There's people teaching Bible prophecy that don't even understand salvation. Amen. There's a lot of people teaching Bible prophecy that has no clue about salvation. And we got to be careful who we listen to. We got to be, you know, they're warning us. We need to be careful who we're listening to. But let me tell you something. We need to be careful. We need to be careful who we listen to as far as Bible prophecy, because there's a lot of people that are messed up. I done talked about the sermons that we've already heard. If some of these people would, and I believe they have, and I believe that they will listen to these sermons, and they were a lot of them were simple sermons, and a lot of them made a complete, perfect sense. I mean, just perfect. I know what I'm going to be preaching the next month or two. Amen. I mean, I got me some stuff that I'm ready to introduce to Faith Baptist Church in Humboldt. And I'm telling you, if these people would just humble themselves, some of these preachers and teachers would humble themselves. And you know, they like to use study Bibles and they like to use commentaries. Here would be my recommendation to them. Put your study Bible down. But if you want to listen to some commentary, what you need to do, you need to get on YouTube and listen to some of these preachers that's been preaching the last couple of days. If you don't want to just read your Bible, just turn on YouTube and listen to some of these preachers that have been preaching on dispensation. Listen to some of these people that have been preaching on the seals of God. Listen to these preachers that have been preaching about the Antichrist and get in there and listen to them and see what they have to say. I don't know about you. I enjoy preaching, don't you? I like listening to preaching, and I enjoy listening to preaching. A lot of men that we listen to are such a blessing. But we got to be careful, of course, who we listen to. I mean, why would we listen to them about Bible prophecy when they don't have salvation right? I mean, we talked about the dispensationalists. It's amazing to me. And I was saved by a preacher. I was listening to a preacher on the radio, and he was a dispensationalist. And he was a man that used the Scofield Study Bible. And as soon as I heard that, he kept mentioning that Scofield Study Bible. I thought that was some kind of magical book. And so I ended up getting one of them Scofield Study Bibles, and I looked at it. And these bunch of preachers, they say, I got a Scofield, and they ain't never read the notes. They're lying. That's where they got this stuff from. They can deny it. They can say, I haven't read Scofield. They're lying. I had a Scofield Bible, and I read every note in it. I read every one. And as a preacher, I've never preached dispensationalism. But you say, why? Because it never made no sense. It never, none of it never made any sense to me. I believe, and I always have believed, that anybody that ever got saved in the Bible, they had to believe. It was by faith, and that's the only way. And you understand, there's no other way to get saved. I had a man get mad at me, and his family left our church because I said this. I said, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. He got mad at me because that's a Bible verse. He got mad and he packed up his Ruckman Reference Bible and he left our church because I said Abraham believed God and it was counted him for righteousness. He said that wasn't true. That wasn't true. Abraham wasn't saved that way. Abraham was saved by works. And that's a true story. You can ask my wife. And he began, the guy, he wanted to argue about it, and he wanted, you know what he did? He started texting me. No, it surprises me that they never want to come talk to you face to face. They never want to come talk to you. They never want to open the Bible. He began to text me. And what he began to text me, and I was telling my wife, he texted me some stuff, and I said, you know what he's doing? He's typing the notes out of the Ruckman Reference Bible. And I said, listen, that's straight out. I texted him back. This is straight out of Ruckman's Reference Bible. He said, no, this is in my head. And anyway, he got mad about that. And he was typing the notes of the Ruckman Reference Bible. But these people, they believe a lot of things that are wrong. They believe that Abraham was saved different than we were. They believe that Noah was saved different. They believe that David was saved different. And listen to me. There's no way that anybody can be saved from the beginning of time until the end of time except by faith. Amen. That is the only way that somebody can be saved. That's the only way from the covers of the Bible that anybody has ever been saved. And you understand there's a lot of people that are against the post-trib pre-wrath rapture. And the reason that they are is because they don't understand the Bible. Amen. They've read commentaries and they read books and they believe these dispensations and they believe. I mean, I read a book one time that y'all don't mention names here, right? Yeah, right. I read a book. It was called One Book Rightly Divided. One Book Rightly Divided by a man named Douglas Stauffer. Now, Douglas Stauffer, and he's come out and he's trying to disprove. He's teamed up with one of these fellas, and he's trying to prove the post-trib pre-wrath wrong. And he's got a book out and several books. And one thing I like about this prophecy conference, there ain't no preacher got up here and tried to sell a book. You know, you go to one of the pre-trib conferences and you get up there and you let Sam Gipp get up there. The first 20 minutes, he's selling his books. You let Bill Grady get up there in the first 20 minutes, you know what he's doing? He's selling his books. And they're there to make a profit. They're there to sell their books. And let me tell you something. Their books are garbage. Their books are garbage. Their books are false. And that book I read, One Book Rightly Divided. I mean, and he's trying to teach us about the rapture, and he don't understand. He thinks that only the Pauline epistles are for me and you. He thinks the book of Hebrews is not for you. They say that Hebrews does not teach the eternal security of the believer. They say James is not for us. They say 1st and 2nd Peter is not for us. They say 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John is not for us. They say the book of Jude is not for us. And many of them, of course, say the book of Acts ain't for us. And Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is not for us. And then they teach the book of Acts. I mean, Peter Ruckman teaches that there's 7 ways to get saved in the book of Acts. 7 ways to get saved. And we're going to listen to them about the rapture.
Yeah, right.
We're going to listen to them about the teaching on something. Listen, they can't even get salvation right. They can't even get the basics right. Why in the world would we listen to them about anything else? I mean, they teach these different dispensations. They teach that Abraham kept his salvations through works. And these are stuff that are in their books. And there's people that trust on them. I was talking to a pre-tribulationist on the phone not long ago. And I asked him, because honestly, I've listened to some of them. And I've listened to those that dare to try to preach it. I've listened to those that even try to. And those that try to, let me tell you something. Usually they don't take no scripture. It's usually what? Jesus is going to come after this service. He's going to come before this sermon's over. I mean, it's all that. They say a whole lot of stuff. They never read any Bible. But those that do dare to get in the scripture and tell you that Revelation chapter number 7 is a parenthetical. They'll take you to Revelation 14, and that's a parenthetical. They'll tell you the tribulation ends 7 ways in the book of Revelation. And they get all mixed up and stuff. And I asked this guy that attempts to teach on a pre-tribulation rapture. I said, who would you recommend? Who would you recommend as a pre-tribulationist that teaches right? Now, just guess who he said. Sam Gipp. He said Sam Gipp. Sam Gipp. Listen, who is a liar? Who is a liar? Who is a liar but he that denies Jesus is the Christ? Who is the liar? You know that verse is proven true? Jesus is not my Messiah. You know that verse is proven true? You understand Sam Gipp's a liar? You know Sam Gipp is a bold-faced liar? I mean, he has told lies, and why has he not repented of it? Why has he not admitted to the lies? I can understand somebody standing against a man's position. I can understand somebody, listen, if you believe in a pre-tribulation or fairy tale, if you believe it, okay, just go ahead and believe it. Quote your scriptures, do whatever you want to. But listen, when you start assassinating people's character and lying about them, listen, that's a big problem.
Yeah.
And people's independent Baptists across this nation are still having him to come in their pulpit. And he's still teaching the same false heresies. And he's still telling the same lies. And I don't have to tell you what they are, you know.
Yeah.
You know what they are. And he's a liar. So who is he that's a liar but he that denieth Jesus is a Christ? And you want to listen to Sam Gipp? He's your main guy. He's the guy that you're going to run to for a pre-tribulational rapture. He's the one that you're going to trust in. And understand, he was a disciple of Peter Ruckman.
Yeah, that's right.
And who is a nut but Peter Ruckman? I mean, that guy is he's insane. He is crazy. Am I lying? You know that truth. Peter Ruckman is crazy. Most likely, and they'll hate this, Peter Ruckman is probably most likely in hell. He probably is. And if Sam Gipp don't get saved, he's going to end up there too. Because no doubt he is a liar. And so we understand. And we understand as we study the book of Revelation, first of all, the book of Revelation is for saved people. It is for saved people. Look at Revelation 1. Revelation 1, and we'll get to the wrath in a minute. Revelation 1. Revelation 1 and verse number 1, the Bible says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. And so here we got the message being delivered to John. You understand John was a saved man. He was a saved man, right? I mean, no doubt. The book of Revelation is for saved people. Then we understand that the letter was written, of course, to the seven churches. In the seven churches, of what did they include? They included saved people. And then the book of Revelation is written to me and you. Look at Revelation chapter number 2. Revelation 2, look at verse number 7. The Bible says, He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Look at verse number 11. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Look at verse 17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Look at verse number 29 of chapter 2. Verse 29, it says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Look at chapter 3, verse 6. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Look at verse 13 of chapter 3. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Look at verse number 22. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So we see something mentioned seven times. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto their churches. You say, who is he that hath an ear? Well, that's somebody that's saved. And so in order to understand the book of Revelation, you have got to be saved. John chapter number 10, verse 27 says, my sheep hear my voice.
That's right.
And I know them, and they follow me. John chapter number 10, we know that his sheep don't hear a stranger. And so we understand that the book of Revelation is written to save people. It's for saved people, and it's saved people that understand it. It's saved people. And so we got people that are trying to teach prophecy. They're trying to teach the book of Revelation that are not saved. They're not born again, and they're not saved. And you'll never understand the book of Revelation. The Bible says the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. So the first key to understanding the book of Revelation is that you be saved. And so why would you listen to Sam Gipp? Why would you listen to Sam Gipp? And Sam Gipp's not saved. And they get mad about that. They say, well, you damn him to hell. Absolutely not. Listen, he's proven that he's not saved. He's proven that he's not born again. Listen, he said clearly that Jesus is not my Messiah. He clearly said it, and he's clearly not saved. And so why in the world would you listen to Sam Gipp? And even if he was saved, he's a liar that has attacked people's character and has clearly lied about it. So why in the world would we dare listen to him? We need to remember some verses in Matthew. Look at Matthew chapter number 7. Look at Matthew chapter number 7. Matthew chapter 7, look at verse number 13. Matthew 7, look at verse 13. The Bible says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few be that find it. So we got to remember this. The Bible says that the broad way, it's a broad way, and many people are going that way. You know, we just assume that everybody that's a Bible preacher and everybody that's a Bible teacher and everybody that attends church is saved. The Bible tells me this, that the majority are going to hell. Look at verse number 21. It says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And so we see some people here that have done great works. They have done some things for the Lord. They have called him Lord, Lord. But when they get before the Lord, they confess what they've done, and they didn't just believe. And so we understand that it's by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we got to be careful who we listen to when it comes to Bible prophecy. What we need to do is we need to study the Bible ourselves. Amen. We need to study the Bibles. Now, I mentioned some of these guys that are confused, that are saved. If they would listen to some of these preachers that have preached during this conference, if they would go back and listen to them. And I believe that many of them will be convinced. I believe that many of them will see the truth, but will they come out? Will they come out and admit that they've seen the truth? Will they admit that it's right? Because I'm telling you, none of them can stand up and present a pre-tribulational rapture from the Scripture.
That's right.
It's impossible. A preacher I know used to get up and he'd say this. He said, I'm going to preach on the pre-tribulational rapture. I wanted to, but I couldn't find a verse. And so, of course, we understand that they need to read, we need to study, and we need to stay away from commentaries. Some people, you know, a lot of people say, I know a preacher that says that the book of Revelation don't matter.
Yeah, right.
That's what he says. I mean, he don't understand it. He don't understand the book of Revelation, so he says it. And this is a Baptist preacher, independent Baptist preacher, and he says the book of Revelation, it don't matter. He don't teach out of it. He don't preach out of it. He just avoids it. Because why? He was brought up in an independent fundamental Baptist church that taught a pre-tribulation rapture, so it don't make sense to him. And so it didn't make no sense, so he just threw his hands up and gave up on it. He's gave up on it. And so we got to understand that it's important to study the book of Revelation. Why is it important? Look at Revelation chapter number 1. Revelation 1. Revelation 1, look at verse 3. The Bible says, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of the prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. So there's a blessing that comes with reading and studying the book of Revelation. So why do we worry about it? Because there's a blessing that comes with it. It's the Word of God. But another reason that we need to be familiar with the book of Revelation, and we need to get in it, and we need to study, is because the wrath of God is going to be poured out on this world. It's going to be poured out on this world. And we need to understand that anybody that has not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, if they're here, they're going to face the wrath of God. They're going to face the wrath of God. In me and you, we know people that are lost. We know people that have never been saved. And we need to understand, we need to get familiar with the book of Revelation. And we need to get a burden for those that are lost, those that are not saved, that are going to face the wrath of God. Look at Revelation chapter number 16. Now we know as Christians, for God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. We understand this, that we're not going to face the wrath of God, but there's a lot of other people that are going to face the wrath of God. And you understand this is Arizona. This place is huge. I'm from Humboldt, Tennessee. Population 8,000. I'm talking about this traffic. You talk about stressed out. I've never seen anything like it. I thought I was in the tribulation. Yeah. You asked my wife, and she thought she was in it, and she was giving me direction. We had a good marriage till I came up here. But there's people this place is packed with people. I didn't realize there was that many people in the world. But they're everywhere, and there's a lot of lost people. There's a lot of lost people here in Arizona. And I've been preaching against sin and stuff, but I didn't realize I'm almost thinking we're in the tribulation. I'm just kidding. Looking around at this crowd up here in Arizona, I mean, man, this place is filled with sin. Filled with sin. This is a wicked place. This city is wicked. This city is weak. There's wicked people everywhere, and they need to be saved. They need to be born again. They need the grace of God, and they need somebody to understand that if they die without Jesus Christ, that they're going to hell. And if the tribulation was to start and they end up in the tribulation and the wrath of God comes, that they're going to be in the wrath of God. And so we can look at some of this. Look at Revelation 16. Revelation 16 in verse number 1. The Bible says, I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noiseless and grievous sore upon men, which had the mark of the beast, and upon them that worshipped his image. And so here we have the first vial being poured out. Of course, we had the trumpet. The first trumpet was poured out, and then the vial. And we see here that there's a noisome and grievous sore that is broke out upon men. And so we see here that they're going to be in pain, in agony. Verse number 3, it says, and the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of dead men, and every living soul died in the sea. And so we understand that the wrath of God is going to affect the whole world. The Bible says that the green grass is going to burn. I mean, it's going to be a smoke-filled place. There's going to be fires everywhere. There's going to be grievous sores and everything else. And so it's going to be a time that God is pouring his wrath out on this world, and those that are not saved are going to face this. Verse number 4 said, and the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and the fountains of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the water say, thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and was and shalt be, because thou hast judged. And notice here, the angel is not saying, God, why are you doing this? Or aren't you being a little hard? No, he's praising the Lord for doing this, because the Lord is righteous. And so we need to understand that God is righteous. And people don't understand, especially lost people, they don't understand why God is going to pour out his wrath. But me and you understand this, that they deserve it. They deserve it. If they do not turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, if they do not get saved, they deserve the wrath of God. It says, verse number 6, for they have shed the blood of the saints and the prophets. Thou hast given blood to drink, for they are worthy. I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. And so the angels here are saying, listen, God is righteous. God is just in doing this. And so we need to understand also that he is righteous and that he is just in pouring out his wrath. But we need to understand too that we still need to tell people. We still need to tell people, because people are getting saved. I mean, just here tonight, I don't know how many people were just saved over the last couple of days. And we need to see more people saved. We need to witness to more people. We need to see them saved. We need to see them born again, so they do not have to go to a devil's hell. I mean, what an obligation we have as Christians. The Bible says that as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. If you're in here today and you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, we're children of God. God is our Father. And we're headed to heaven. If we is to die, we know without a shadow of a doubt that we're going to heaven. We know that when the rapture takes place, that we will be caught out of here. We know that that's settled. I mean, that don't worry me one bit. I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven. I know that when the rapture takes place, that I'm going up. But there's people all across this country that does not know that. And we need to be concerned about those that are lost, that's going to end up going to hell. Look at verse number 8. It says, and the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which had power over the plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. And so there we see men being scorched with the sun. I mean, can you imagine? Now they tell me, I don't know this to be true, but they say that if the sun was 1 inch closer, that we'd burn up. I mean, that's what I heard. I don't know. But right, I've heard that. I've heard that. That's good preaching, right? I've heard that. Independent Fundamental Baptist said that. I guess we can trust them, right? But can you imagine? The sun being so hot that it would scorch us. And you're in Arizona. I'm originally from Florida. I understand the heat. But you're in Arizona. You understand, can you imagine the sun being so hot that it would scorch you, that it would burn you, that you would be in agony over the heat of the sun? Can you imagine that? I mean, no, you can't imagine it. I mean, the heat that we feel now is nothing compared to when the wrath of God comes upon this world, where he scorches men. The verse number 10 says, and the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. And so there we see that they gnawed their tongues for pain. And we realize that this is also the fifth seal the fifth vial is the fifth trumpet. And that's when the locusts out of hell come up. The locusts out of hell. Look at that. Look at Revelation 9. Revelation 9. And so we can understand why they're gnawing their tongues for pain. Revelation 9, it says, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he had striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shape of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were the faces of men, and they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions, and they had breastplates as it were breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle, and they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men for 5 months. And so here we see the locusts from hell come up, and they're stinging people. Can you imagine that? I mean, and we can't. I mean, we read it. You cannot even begin to imagine what it's going to be like. The sun is scorching people. Then it's going to be a time of darkness. There's going to be locusts coming out of hell that's going to sting people, that's going to torment them for 5 months. I mean, we can't even imagine what that is like. And you think about it. If you know anybody that that's terrified of bugs, do you? Man, I know somebody, and I'm not going to tell your name, but she lives with me. And you need to understand this. If you're lost in here and you're scared of bugs, I mean, I've been woke up in the middle of the night thinking somebody has broke into the house and was murdering my family. I thought people were dying because of a blood-curdling scream that woke me up, and I jump up. And guess what it is? A spider. And listen, this person that I know that I live with weighs more than that spider. And I say this, just step on it. Just step on it. Just kill it. But there's going to be, listen, locusts out of hell that you can't kill. There's going to be locusts coming out that are tormenting people. And you say, well, I'm in here and I'm not saved. You trying to scare me? Yes, I'm trying to. I'm trying to, whatever it takes to get you to turn to Jesus Christ, to get you saved, so you do not have to face the torment of a hot sun, so that you don't have to face the darkness and these locusts that are going to sting you. Yes, I'd do whatever it takes to get you to trust Jesus Christ, but you know what? All I can do is tell you the message, and you got to believe on your own. I can't twist your arm. I can't do anything but tell you the truth, but there's going to be a time of wrath on this world. And listen, you need to, if you're not saved, you need to get saved. And if you are saved, we need to realize and get the seriousness of this time that's coming, and get the seriousness of people dying and going to hell, and understand that I don't know about you, but I don't want none of my family going to hell. Anybody in here got lost loved ones? All over the building. Lost loved ones. And listen, if they're to die, they're going to hell. I had a lady in my church, and she had some boys, and she wanted to see them saved, but they didn't want to be around her when she was preaching. You know what I told her? I said, you need got to preach to them anyway. You got to preach to them. They got to be saved, or if they die without the Lord, they're going to hell. And it don't matter if it's your brother, if it's your sister, if it's your mom or dad, your faith is not going to get them there. Your faith is not going to get them into heaven. They have got to believe the death, the burial, and the resurrection. They've got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ theirself. And it's so important that they trust Jesus Christ, because eternity depends on where they're going to spend eternity if they don't get saved. And we think, most of us in here, I mean, I got big plans for next Sunday. I mean, at the church, I'm ready to preach at the church, and you know what? I'm expecting to be there. And many of you've got plans for tomorrow. You're going to get up and go to work. You probably got plans for Wednesday night. You're going to come back to church. Sunday night, you got big plans. You got all these Indian reservations that you're planning on going to. But you know what? We might not make it there. We might not make it there. But you know what? Every one of us is assuming that we are. Every one of us is assuming that we're going to wake up in the morning. Every one of us is assuming that we'll be here next Wednesday night. Every one of us is assuming that that loved one that we know that does not know Jesus Christ as Savior, we just assume that we're going to have another chance, and we're going to have another chance to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. But let me tell you something. As the days go by, as the months go by, listen, your time is ticking away, and you never know. You never know when your day of death. We was preaching about the rapture. We've preached about the rapture. We've preached about the tribulation. We've preached about the wrath of God. But Hebrews 9:27 says this. It don't say that you're appointed to the rapture. Hebrews 9:27 does not say that you're appointed to tribulation or none of that. But it says this, that each one of us is appointed to death. We got an appointment with death. And I can't guarantee many things in here. I can guarantee a few things. I can guarantee you this. Sam Gipp's a liar. I can guarantee you that. I can guarantee you that the rapture is post-trib wrath. Amen. I can guarantee you this, and I can guarantee you this also. One day, you're going to die. You're going to die. And the same thing with your loved ones. Your loved ones that you love, listen, they're not guaranteed tomorrow. And so we need to understand that God is serious about this. This is serious business that we're in. This is serious that we preach the gospel to those that are lost, that we tell them about Jesus Christ. And you say, well, they get mad, they get offended. It don't matter. It don't matter. They'll be grateful. Listen, when they get saved and they get born again and they end up in heaven, can you imagine if they ended up in hell because we did not tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ? Look at verse number 12. The Bible says, and the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, and the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. Look at verse 17. It says, and the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, it is done. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings, and there was earthquake such as was not since men were upon the earth. So mighty an earthquake and so great, and the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came into remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were found not. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent, and men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceedingly great. And so there we have in the seventh vial we got hail falling from heaven. And we go through this, and we can't even imagine the things that are going to be happening. But we got hail that's falling that's probably about the weight of 50 pounds or so that's going to be falling across the world. And so we understand that it's going to be a time of God's wrath. And so we understand this is different than the tribulation. This is different than the great tribulation. The tribulation, of course, is the devil's time. It's a lot of man-made events, and then the wrath of God is supernatural. When the sun and moon is darkened, that is a supernatural event. Amen. The Bible says, behold, he cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him. And when we see him, we're going to be raptured out of here, and then he's going to begin to pour his wrath out upon this world, and this world is going to be in quite a fix. And the Bible tells me that a lot of them, it says there that men are still blaspheming God, and they're not repenting. They're not repenting. And so when you get to this point in the wrath of God, I don't know how many people is going to be saved, but the Bible tells me that there's a lot that's going to harden their heart, and they're still going to reject the Lord Jesus Christ. And so a lot of people say, well, when I see that, I'll believe. Well, I don't know. I mean, the Bible says the just live by faith. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please him. And so we have to trust him by faith. We don't need to see anything. I mean, if you was like me before I got saved, I'd say, well, I didn't believe. You say God in the beginning, he created the heaven and earth. I'd say, that's crazy. Right? I don't know how y'all was brought up. I wasn't brought up in a Christian home. I didn't get saved till the age of 27. But I was into heavy metal and rock and roll and played the guitar and all kinds of stuff. And you would tell me some of that stuff, I'd say, man, you're insane. You're insane about that. But you know what? After I got saved, in the beginning, God created the heaven. I don't have no trouble believing that. I don't have no trouble believing the Bible and what the Bible says. And so you got to believe it by faith. I didn't see no big sign. I didn't see the sun and moon wasn't darkened. I didn't see no tribulation or anything like that. I just trusted the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. And that's what he expects from everybody. And so when they say, well, I'll believe it when that begins to happen. Well, they probably won't. Yeah. They probably won't. They need to hear the gospel now. And we are the ones that's going to have to take it to them. And you know this, most churches, I guarantee you, in this Tempe or wherever it is, y'all go soul winning, Glendale, Arizona, I guarantee you this, that there's nobody knocking on the doors except the Jehovah Witnesses and the Mormons. Y'all got them up here? The Mormons. I mean, where we're at in Humboldt, Tennessee, you can ask anybody, when's the last time a Baptist knocked on your door? And they'll tell you this, never. Never did they. But the Jehovah Witnesses will. The Jehovah Witnesses and the Mormons will knock the doors. And so this is the crowd here. This is the crowd that is going to reach Arizona. This is the crowd that's going to reach the Navajos. This is the crowd that's going to reach them. And I tell you this, if this crowd don't do it, nobody else is. Yeah. Nobody else is. And I thank God for a church like this that is a lighthouse, that is an example to churches across the world. And churches are getting on board, and there's a lot. Listen, I've talked to people, and I've talked to preachers, and I've got people calling me and saying, listen, we're ready to move to your church. I mean, I never seen anything like it. They're saying all these independent fundamental church, they use this word. They say they're lame. They're lame. And so you know what? They're not reaching the world. They're not reaching their community. They're not reaching their cities. And so we're commanded to do that. And if anybody's going to do it, I'm looking at the Sunday night crowd here. I'm looking at the faithful people that's going to go into the highways and hedges, that's going to win the lost, that's going to be a witness. And we need to understand the seriousness of it. We need to understand that people are going to face the wrath of God. But even more importantly, that if they die, they're going to end up in hell for all eternity. For all eternity, they're going to end up in a place called hell. And once they get there, there's no way out. There's no way out. And so we need to understand the importance of it and understand about the wrath of God and understand. Thank God, you know, the wrath of God, we really, you know, we don't got to worry about it. Yeah. I mean, it's in the Bible, so we preach it. But we're not worried about the wrath of God. We're not worried about hell. But there's a lot of people that we could reach. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you and we thank you, Lord. I just pray tonight that you'd bless through the preaching of thy word. I pray tonight that you'd give each person in here, and I know many already do have a burden, but maybe there's some in here that don't have a burden for soul winning. They don't go to visitation. They don't witness. Lord, I pray that you just touch their heart and let them see that people die, and if they die without the Lord Jesus Christ, they end up in hell. Lord, give each one of us a burden, I pray. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. Yeah.